Yeah, warriors, we're taking it down. Raise your voices and stand up this town. We're the champions of craft beer sport. Tolkien Audio, we hold down the fort.
Coming off a long weekend where we saw NHL teams go down, the PWHL looks oddly familiar to Toronto hockey fans, to the NHL, Ross Atkins, the Blue Jays, comes out and infuriates baseball fans around the city and around the country. It's been quite a long weekend, but we fire up a short week here on the Tall Can Audio podcast. But it's a big week. It is Memorial Cup week. And when it's time to talk junior hockey, we bring in a friend of ours that we've known since the very early days of the podcast. He is formerly the host of the OHL Fanboys podcast. That show is now defunct, but he remains quite funky. Steve McLean's here. What's happening, man?
Oh, man, that's a description for sure. Happy to be here, Matt. It's always a good time to be on Tall Can Audio.
How was the long weekend, man? You do all right? Everything good?
Yeah, it's just, I'm doing a lot of, I'm working a lot right now because, as the description would have you suggest, I will be going to Saginaw, for the Memorial Cup. So to get that time off, you know, you got to work a lot beforehand, but
sure.
So get one day off during the long weekend, but you know, it always rains during Victoria Day. So I'm not, doesn't,
you were all right with that. It. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Might as well, if it's going to be raining, I might as well be out there, making money. You know?
Well, this is a rare treat, man, because, we've had you on a couple times. Now, last year we caught you on your way to the Memorial Cup. You were on a layover between flights, so you weren't able to take part, but in, some previous times in studio we've had you in, I know much like, myself, you're a bit of a rum guy, but, you have, decided this time, you're going to step out on a limb here. You're going to do the craft beer thing, even though that's not always your scene. So I'm anxious to hear what you've got. I'm going to lead it off just because this one's a little out of sorts for the long weekend in the past now that is supposed to kick off the summer. I had something kicking around here in the fridge here at the family cottage where I had spent the long weekend. This is from the Muskoka Brewing Company. It is their Winter Beard Latte Stout. I figured I better get this one down before we get too deep into the summer. Although I'm always kind of a stout guy, no matter the season. But this is just 4.2%, a latte stout, a nitro stout from Muskoka Brewing Company. I've had a lot of their stuff. They're one of the OGs here in the province. They're all over the place. They're in your liquor stores. They're pretty well known. But I don't think I've ever had this particular stout from them. So that's what I'm kicking it off with. You are down in the Hamilton area. I'm curious where you decided to venture to make a rare stop in the craft beer world for yourself.
Yeah, for people who haven't heard any of my episodes on here before, I am notoriously not a beer guy. I've tried so many different beers over the years and keep coming back to it. And every time I have one, it's just like, I can't down one. I've finished one beer in my whole life, and it was a Heineken. And even then, I didn't even really like it.
It's because it was Heineken.
Well, yeah.
I admire your tenacity, though, man. You're sticking with it. You're giving it a shot. No one can say you haven't tried.
There's two things I like, or that I don't like, that a lot of people are that drink constantly. That's beer and coffee. And I'm fine with not liking coffee. I don't need to get addicted to a caffeine rush.
Same. I've got enough vices. I don't drink coffee either. I don't need another one, right? Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to drink alcohol, mixing rum and Coke all the time is probably not the best thing. But I've wanted to get into beer. I want to like it. So I'm going to give this another shot here. I went to the Collective Arts Brewing.
Nice. Okay.
In Hamilton here. I've actually noticed it a lot of times driving my routes. I've passed it a few times. So I went in there yesterday and went to the counter and told the lovely girl working there, full disclosure, I don't like beer. Here's what I don't like about it. What would you recommend? So she has recommended me, this is called Jam Up the Mash.
Good stuff.
It's a dry hop sour, 5.2%.
Okay.
She has mentioned, if you're not a big fan of the beer taste in your beer, go with something sour. Friend told me that this is going to be very sour, so we'll check it out here.
That a boy. Yeah, no, those, I've had that a couple of times. It's sometimes it's a little tart, right? It's a little bit sour, but it doesn't have, it sounds like what you're talking about in terms of the aftertaste is the hoppiness and the know, the stuff that's really strong in an IPA, but present in most things. So I'm curious there, as you take your first pull on the Jam Up the Mash Sour from the Collective Arts Brewing Company, how are we doing?
Well, I, you know what? I didn't turn into Homer Simpson eating a sour candy with my mouth really close. So that's a good thing. Where the hell is the candy? But no, it's not bad. It's got that fruit taste. It kind of, it's got a, kind of like a cranberry taste to it. You know, that's the thing. I listen to you guys talk about a lot of beer descriptions before, and it's, for me, it's just like, I don't know, it's good or it's bad.
Sure, sure.
But you know, I'm digging it. When I first opened it there, that normal beer smell hit me, and I was like, oh, this might not be good.
Right.
I have water on standby just in case. But no, I dig this. It's not bad.
Okay. Well, that's cool to hear. And maybe that's something to keep in mind if you do ever find yourself in such a situation where, you know, a restaurant or a pub or whatever where the, you know, I can't imagine where they don't have rum, but maybe you like a sour, man. Maybe that's the way to go. And
might be my thing. We'll see.
Sour, a little bit of an outcast in the beer world to some people. I'm not a big sours guy. One of the other things we could say that maybe is a little bit of an outcast in the CHL are Memorial Cups hosted in American cities. This isn't something we see all that often. And I'm curious, you know, before we get into the specifics and the teams that are going to take part here, this one's going to happen in Saginaw. How unusual is it? Why? I do understand that there are fewer teams, obviously, in the U.S. than in Canada. So just on a rotation basis, it makes sense that it's not going to be in the U.S. all that often. But, you know, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but like, even with that in mind, it seems like they go to the U.S. a little bit less often than maybe even is deserved on the rotation. Am I correct on that? Is this unusual? What are you expecting out of Saginaw here?
Yeah, absolutely. This is kind of more of a rarer thing, but at the same time, it's something that is a long time coming and has been deserved. I really hate the almost gatekeeping that you see whenever an American team in the CHL is mentioned on a news article. There'll be a bunch of comments going, I thought this was the Ontario Hockey League, right, or the Canadian. Get these American teams out of here. And it's just like, oh, would you piss off with that stuff? But we have 9 American teams across the CHL, none in the Q, but we got 3 in the OHL and now 6 in the WHL. Some of these teams, you know, great facilities, new rinks that deserve, you know, to host a Memorial Cup, and organizations that work hard and they should, you know, it should, like, they should have just as much chance to host this as any other team. I understand, you know, there might be some more logistical problems with it being in the States, but this is the first time it's been in the States since 1998 when Spokane hosted it. So 26 years it's been. So oddly enough, one thing I've noticed with that was back then in the 90s, TSN had the broadcasting rights for the CHL, and it was around, I don't know the year exactly, but it was probably around 2001 or 2000 when Sportsnet took over, and now it was just coming out of the pandemic that TSN got the rights back. So was it maybe Sportsnet's unwillingness to you know, go broadcast in the States? They had done a couple games in Erie when McDavid Mania was going on.
Yeah.
But other than that, I can't remember any time Sportsnet doing games from the U.S. in the CHL. So maybe it was a TV thing,
yeah,
maybe
that's
not.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's happened. I'm glad to see Saginaw get this shot, and hopefully, you know, I think Erie, facility wise, as far as OHL teams, would be another good one, and a lot of the WHL teams, I'm sure they're licking their chops. You know, places like Portland and Everett and Seattle would love to host this.
Yeah, no, and like Seattle, obviously the arrival of the NHL, the hockey scenario out there, the hockey scene out there has been booming here lately. That's a market on the grow for sure for the game. That's, you know, other than the TV thing, like, is it logistically problematic to go to the U.S. for this thing? Can you think of any other reason? And, you know, and we're not saying for sure it was Sportsnet, but that is one reasonable, you know, possibility that, you know, look, when TSN's been doing it, they've been willing to go under the entire time that Sportsnet had it. They didn't. That is possible. Is there other logistics to worry about doing it in another country? Do these fan bases, these markets, you know, draw as well, attendance wise, would that have been a concern? Can you think of any reason why they wouldn't go? Or, you know, is it just, you know, it's just time again and they're off to Saginaw this time?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, you know, and touching one more thing on the TV thing, you know, it wasn't like before Spokane had it in 98, it wasn't like there was another giant gap. You know, Seattle hosted it in 92, Portland hosted it twice in the 80s. Now, one of those times was because another team had to back out last minute. Back in the days, we didn't have to plan these out a year in advance. Sure. But, you know, so it had happened a few times before, but otherwise, you know, another thing I can think of is maybe, you know, sponsorship deals, you know, Canadian hockey, a lot of Canadian only sponsors and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of funny. You know, for years, the main sponsor of the Memorial Cup was MasterCard, and yep, they had to shoehorn that in. It was
everywhere.
Called the MasterCard Memorial Cup. Yes. Yeah. And since 2019, the main sponsor had been Kia. So yep, thankfully, it wasn't called like the Kia Memorial Cup. It was the Memorial Cup presented by Kia, at least. But oddly enough, you know, that only lasted a few years. This year, it's sponsored by Dow Chemicals, which, you know, selling your body's chemicals after you die.
Right.
Also sponsored by Little Sweetheart Cupcakes, a subsidiary of LIG, or however the Simpsons thing goes. But Dow is actually the name of the arena in Saginaw. Is the Dow Event Center. You know, when it was announced that Dow was going to be the sponsor of this Memorial Cup, this might be like a 1 year deal, maybe, because it's in the States.
Sure.
You know, a company that sponsors the Saginaw Spirit already. So maybe they figured they'd just go all in Memorial Cup. I don't know how the sponsorship deals work out. But yeah, sponsorship might be another deal. A lot of these Canadian-only companies, you know.
Yeah.
You in the past, anyway, you would watch a CHL game on Sportsnet, and how many damn times would you see a Cavendish Potatoes commercial,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and so, I guess it's true, right? Like, even for things like, you know, board sponsorships and whatever, the things you're going to put on. Now, I know they can do a lot of that remotely now and electronically, but, like, a lot of the stuff you're trying to sell isn't going to be available to people in Saginaw, and a lot of the stuff that the people in Saginaw want to sell and get on TV isn't going to be available nationwide in Canada. So it does create, I guess, as you suggest, sponsorship-wise, a couple of issues. You're going to drive down there. I know you're not staying through for the entire thing, but you're going down twice. I'm curious, you know, just sort of through the people you talk to and monitoring this, are you expecting, you know, crowd-wise, attendance-wise, for this to be successful? Is there as much buzz as there normally is? Because you've traveled to a bunch of these. You know, does it feel any different that it's going to be in the U.S.? Or does it still sort of feel like, no, this is the junior hockey mecca this time of year? Not dissimilar to the Grey Cup Festival, where everyone just kind of, people who are really passionate about the CFL will come to whatever city it's in, and that's how it's going to be.
I know there's a lot of people who normally go every year who are actually skipping it this year, just because on top of all the normal expenses that you have, now you have, you know, the exchange rate on top of that.
Yeah. Right?
So just little things like going out all week to eat and stuff is going to be a lot more. So sometimes, you know, people will maybe ditch out on one every now and then anyway. So I think some people figured, well, you know, maybe we'll just do it this year instead.
Sure. Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, at the end of the day, it is the Memorial Cup. I'm excited for it as if it were any other place, like Kamloops last year, and you know, Rimouski has it next year. Hopefully, and it is a bit of a smaller town hosting it this time. You know, Saginaw's not a huge, huge place. It's, mm-hmm, I think it's about 50,000 people. I always find that the smaller towns can do it up a little bit bigger as opposed,
yeah,
to when it's in a
for
big
sure
town.
It's half the beauty of it.
Yeah, exactly. If it's in a bigger place and it kind of gets lost in the lurch, you know, that year that it was in Mississauga, you had no idea what was going on,
right,
once you got out of the parking lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
well, it's the same way the World Juniors used to be, right? In Red Deer instead of in Toronto and Montreal. And you're just like, it's cool that we're hosting again, but these, you like to see it in these, and I've said the same thing about, you know, and maybe this isn't an apt comparison, but I always sort of compare the Memorial Cup to the Grey Cup, and that when it's in Edmonton or Saskatchewan or Winnipeg or whatever, it feels cool. Those are the heartbeat of the league. And, you know, you get into some of these bigger cities for it or for the Memorial Cup. It's cool that it's there and you've got a crowd and you've got lots of places to have your events, but it doesn't feel like it is the thing in that city for that week or whatever. Whereas, you know, in a Michigan or a Saginaw, Michigan, or you know, Kamloops last year, whatever, these people are happy to have a huge event like the Memorial Cup roll in and take over their city and be all about that for a week.
And on top of that, you know, there's not just events going on in Saginaw. You know, there's a town just outside Saginaw called Frankenmuth, and they are just as much part of this.
Great craft brewery in Frankenmuth, I can report, by the way.
Well, and I know a lot of people love, you know, it's a little Bavarian type of town. So, yeah, the fact that there's, you know, I never thought of the beer aspect, but since it is that German vibe, I'm going to get out and hear that Oompa music or going on all the time.
Parents have like a camper trailer and like they like to tour around now that they're retired. And so they've been to Frankenmuth. I guess every year there's like a Christmas festival of some kind. That's a big deal. And so they've gone down to that once or twice and always rolled back with a couple of great beers out of Frankenmuth. So,
yeah, exactly. So, well, you know, if you need some shopping done,
there you go, man.
I think I'm in the States just long enough on each trip that I can bring back alcohol.
Right.
So. yeah, like Frankenmuth is all in on this. They even, you know, during last year's Memorial Cup in Kamloops, to show how much they're trying to go all out, like Frankenmuth, like the town's name, was one of the sponsors on the ice in Kamloops last year.
Wow.
Which was a little bit of a mind fuck.
Yeah.
That's a little weird, but
it's almost like the Olympics where the mayor of the next city shows up and takes the handoff from the previous host at the closing ceremony, right? So
right. Well, and that's how the Memorial, that's usually how they try to do the Memorial Cup hosting. They will announce the next year's host well in advance of the current tournament about to happen, and usually the officials from that team, host committee, everything will come in for the whole week and see how the team before them does it, and okay, what did they do that we can copy that was great, or what did they do that fell short on? Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you see that every year. They're a dignitary. You know, the Saginaw people were in Kamloops last year, and they I saw them myself. We talked to some of them. They took part in a lot of events, and they were really gung-ho about this year. So I'm interested to see how Saginaw does it up. As far as attendance-wise, you know, for as I mentioned, you know, some people are skipping it, but at the same time, a lot of people are still going. I know there was a bit of concern in the sense of, so Saginaw's playoff crowds weren't exactly the best. We're talking about a rink that holds, I think it's 5,000 or 5,500 people. Mm-hmm. And when they were in the Western Conference final against London, I think their biggest crowd was 3,800. So that's a little bit concerning.
Yeah.
I know tickets are still available online. Like if you go in single tickets on Ticketmaster, there are some, but it's not like there's tons available. Like it's kind of like high up in the corners, there's still some available.
Sure.
So it's not exactly sold out, but hopefully, you know, by, of course, now we'll have people from the towns that actually won their league championships who know they're being Saginaw. Maybe those people are buying those tickets up now as we speak. So. I feel it's going to be a good deal. I've had a good time anytime I've gone to Saginaw for, you know, regular games or playoff games in the past. And, you know, the Spirit fans are awesome people, man. So, you know, I don't want to make it sound like I'm shitting on Saginaw showing up, but, I anticipate things will be great.
Well, you make a good point that a lot of people would have waited. I can tell you, you know, I have a lot of friends and family who are Generals people who were sort of waiting to see, you know, maybe it's worth the drive down to Michigan. It's not far. And obviously decided later on. There's no need to do that and held off. We can get into that as we look at the four teams taking part. It's the Moose Jaw Warriors. It is the host Saginaw Spirit. It's the Drummondville Voltigeurs. And the goddamn London Knights will be taking part once more. All of these...
Lever Sage is seething somewhere right now. I can hear it. And you know what? I've never met Lee before, but just knowing that he hates the London Knights as much as he does, that's a good man right
there. Yeah, you know, that's a strike in his corner, in his column, I guess.
Yes.
Look, all three of the league championship series were short. And I'm curious, did you... see that coming before they started? Was there one where you thought, wow, I expected that to be more competitive? And is there anything to it? Was it just a weird year where that happened, or is there something systematically that, that, you know, made it play out this way across the CHL? What did you make of three very short championship series in the Q, the O, and in the Dub?
Yeah, first time in history that all three leagues had sweeps in their championship the same year. So there had been only a handful
really
of times.
Really glad we could be a part of that.
Only a handful of times in the past has there even been two out of the three in 1 year. So pretty rare deal. Of course, you know, anytime you get to a championship, I don't think you expect a sweep. Now, full disclosure, and sorry, Oshawa Generals fans, I didn't think it was going to be a super long series between London and Oshawa. My pick was London in five.
Okay.
Mostly just, I mean, you saw it firsthand. London is just a juggernaut this year.
Yeah.
Oshawa, they kind of arrived a year early in all respects. You know, Oshawa is going to be in this position again next year, and I think they'll have a much better shot. Now, that being said, I didn't think it was going to be as bad as it was.
Yeah, it was not just a sweep. It was a beatdown. No.
Yeah, I honestly don't think I've ever seen, even when you're talking about like first round series that can sometimes be just ugly.
Yeah.
It was just, this might have been one of the ugliest championship finals I've ever seen. You know, Oshawa had that one game where they looked, you know, when they came out in game three and had that 3-0 lead in the first, I was like, all right. You know, this is, I still didn't think Oshawa was going to win that series, but it's like, you know, they're
maybe they'll make
off.
Make it competitive a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And then just, man, that third period, I mean, you were there.
Yes, I was.
And then London, you know, kind of even stamped it the next game where they just went back to blowing them out and won 7-1. So, what was the 31-9, the goals in the whole series? And you take away those first two periods of game three where Oshawa got that 6-2 lead, you knock it down to 29-3 in the whole series. So, but yeah. You know, Oshawa, and full credit to the Oshawa Generals, they were hurt badly. They had three players out, big name players for them out for most of the series. Beckett, Seneca never came back.
Yeah.
You know, they eventually got Connor Punnett back, and he came back in game three. And I mean, you were there. He made an immediate impact. It's like, this team is so much better with Connor Punnett in the lineup. But he was obviously not playing 100%. And even at a whatever he was, 40, 50, 60%, he's still a big difference. So
sure.
Maybe things would have gone a little bit differently had Oshawa had not been banged up. Whereas London, for the most part, doesn't seem to have any injuries right now. Everyone's in their lineup ready to go. So,
and just a better team all around. As you said, all year looked like a bit of a juggernaut. Whereas Oshawa, based on, and I don't need to tell you your business, you know better than me, but the people I spoke to who watched Oshawa all year said, you know, full value for reeling off 12 in a row or whatever it was at the end of the year to grab first place, but maybe not really a first place team, right? Got hot at the right time, as you said, arrived a little bit early, and full value for getting where they got. But, you know, at Christmas time, I remember speaking to a couple people and saying, what about the Gens this year? And them kind of going, you know, they're all right. They're not terrible. They're not great. And so it's just one of those years a little bit. What happened out west with Moose Jaw moving on? You know, and are there any lines to be drawn between the three of them in terms of all of them ending this way? Or is it just a crazy roll of the dice this year?
So, as I mentioned, you know, the London-Oshawa one is the one I wasn't shocked about as far as it being a short series. The other two series, I am a little bit shocked at. I would say the Moose Jaw Portland WHL final was much more competitive. I think Portland deserved a much better fate than being swept. They were three very close games and a fourth game where Moose Jaw just kind of pulled away at the end. It was pretty close for 40 minutes. We're talking, you know, in game one, Moose Jaw got the winning goal with 3 minutes to go in the third period. Game two was the one where they kind of pulled away late and won 5-1. Game three went to overtime. Game four, the clincher, Moose Jaw got the game winner with 6 minutes to go, added an empty netter. Mm-hmm. Portland was banged up pretty good, and Moose Jaw not so much. I mean, every team this deep in the season is going to be banged up, but Portland had some guys out of the lineup. You know, they were limping into that series after their really good Western Conference final with Prince George. So, I don't think that helped Portland any, but I think the Portland Winterhawks deserved a much better end than what they got. Mm-hmm. You know, full marks to Moose Jaw for winning all those close games. But, you know, I feel that was probably the best series of the three, even though it was still a sweep. In the queue, it was a bit different in the sense of, you know, the Bay Como Drakkar were just great all season long. Had an amazing record. Now, to be fair, it's not like Drummondville was this out-of-nowhere team. They led the Western Conference in the queue. They had a great season. They were a preseason favorite. But it just seemed like the Drakkar were that juggernaut this year. And they get to the finals. Drakkar finished first overall, so they've got home ice. And in the first two games of the finals, not only did the Drakkar lose both games at home, they didn't even score a goal.
Wow.
Drummondville coming out with a 5-0 and 1-0 overtime victory. And then they go to they go to the games in Drummondville and a 6-2 game in game three. And then, you know, game four was a little bit closer. Drummondville had a 4-1 lead midway through the third. Bay Como had a couple goals late to bring it close, but ended up losing 4-3. It's not so much a shock that Drummondville won that series, but I think it's a shock that they've managed to just sweep Bay Como and do it pretty handedly for the most part.
Yeah. When you look at this foursome, and this is, to me, I don't know, this is very unique in at least the sports that I follow, right? And the closest line that I can draw is back in the old days of baseball when the American League and the National League never touched throughout the season other than the All-Star game. And then you get to the World Series and it's like, all right, here's the NL's best versus the AL's best. And that was really intriguing. And now, look, I'm not necessarily against it. I think interleague play is fun. I think it's cool to see some of the teams you don't usually get to see. It's always really awesome when the Dodgers roll up here and just beat the shit out of us. I think that's, you know, a nice change of pace.
Shohei Ohtani comes in on a plane.
He's actually here. He's actually on this jet coming into Toronto. But when we get to this point in the CHL season and the Memorial Cup, I think it's very unique in sports that we see these three different leagues who, I guess, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, outside of Ottawa Gatineau now and then playing these cross river series again, these leagues don't touch. And you get there and you go, okay, here's our champ, here's your champ, and let's see what happens. That's really cool. When you look at how these particular four teams stack up, you know, you mentioned that Saginaw isn't a weak sister like occasionally we see. Like, if you're the host of the Memorial Cup, you know, and normally you get built up that at least you'll be competitive. But every now and then you see the host is clearly outclassed. It just hasn't panned out and they get these three champs rolling over them. That doesn't look like it should be the case this time. But when you look at these four teams in Moose Jaw, London, Saginaw, and Drummondville, does anything stand out to you in terms of style of play or, you know, how these teams are going to match up against each other?
Yeah, just to touch on that other thing there with teams playing each other, getting weird matchups, I think that's just one of those extra little cool things. That's like almost like a reward for your team winning the championship. Now you get to see, you know, you're the London Knights, and now you get to see them play the Moose Jaw Warriors.
Right.
Like that is some cool stuff. Or if you're a fan of one of these teams that has never, you know, let's say you don't have the successes of London, we go back to a year like when the Owen Sound Attack won the OHL title. Now they're playing St. John and Kootenay and stuff. It's really weird, some of the matchups you see. Like the first game of the tournament I'm actually going to is on the first Sunday of the tournament. I'll be seeing Saginaw play Drummondville. And that to me is such a random fucking
It really
matchup.
Is.
like, you know, those are two teams that Drummondville has had success before, but not like, it's not like this is a team that goes to Memorial Cup all the time. You know, this is Drummondville's fourth ever Memorial Cup, but the first two, they kind of got there by being the team that lost the league final in 88-91. So this is only the second time they've won the Q title. And so you don't see them here all the time. And now they're playing against a team like Saginaw that this is their first ever Memorial Cup. And it just some maybe as everyone knows about London and Oshawa, well, and maybe out west, everyone's heard of Brandon and Portland, but sometimes
even last year, man, to go back and look, I know the Peets are a storied franchise, but there was something kind of cool about seeing Peterborough on the national set. And look, I hate the Peets, right? Like but a town like that, that's sort of in cottage country in central Ontario, their hockey team is on national television playing off against the rest of the country. There's something really cool about that.
Yeah. It's a really cool thing to see. So first of all, you know, that's one of the allures to the Memorial Cup. It's a really awesome thing. You know, as far as style of play and whatnot, that's the thing that's it's hard. You know, you can look at each team and go, well, you know, this is what their strengths and weaknesses are, but you really don't know. The only matchup we really know is London and Saginaw, right? And yeah. London beat Saginaw in 6 games in the Western Conference Final. And to touch on your point about Saginaw not being, you know, the weak host this year, like, yeah, they were the only team that gave London a proper run this year, right. I feel. They went down in 6 games, and some of the games that they lost, you know, they were right in there leading, you know, and London.
Gee, what was that like?
On late, so yeah. Well, yeah, you guys had that one.
We have had that one lead, yeah.
But yeah, so Saginaw is definitely a threat this year. You know, they've shown that they can beat London in a 1-game situation, and hey, that's what might it come down to.
Sure.
Right? As far as, and I'm what one matchup I'm kind of interested in is London and Drummondville. As off, I mean, you saw it again firsthand, as offensively gifted as the London Knights are, their defense is just something to behold, man. Like, on the back end, the London Knights are just so freaking good. And, you know, you talk about guys like Olivier, or I always say Olivier for some reason. It's Oliver Bonk, son of Radek Bonk,
who we all remember well from the World Juniors.
Yeah, him and Sam Dickinson and Isaiah George, man, like, and it, the list goes on. The London Knights are just so good defensively, and then you get a team like the Drummondville.
Well, Warriors, and behind them, they go out and grab like the best goalie from the tournament last year to put behind. Like, good luck scoring on the London Knights. It's
yeah, Michael Simpson, who was the OHL's playoff MVP last year with the Peets. Now, yeah. You know, admittedly, he probably had a rough Memorial Cup. You know, there was that one game where the Peets got drummed by, I think it was Kamloops. They lost like 10-2 or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
But so as much as, and that was London's whole deal this year, was unfinished business. You know, they lost that series to Peterborough last yeah. year. Most of their team was back this year, and it was, you know, you talk to people who within the London organization, when those players showed up for camp in the fall, it was not a, hey, how was your summer? How's it's like, no, I want to get, like, let's do this dry land training. Let's get on the ice. Yeah. Let's go. We've got a job to do here. And, you know, Michael Simpson was on the winning side of that last year, but, you know, he didn't win the Memorial Cup. So now it's that now I've got something to prove.
Unfinished
right?
business for him too. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you were teeing up that matchup with them versus Drummondville.
Yeah, like, I think London Drummondville will be a really interesting matchup. Like I said, as much as London scores, I think their defense and goaltending is a big strength. Drummondville, they play, you know, they play in a barn, and that's one of the things I love about the Q. There's so many old. And I say this with love, sure. Schiphol Barns.
Yeah.
the arena there named after Marcel Dion. They play on a 190-foot sheet of ice.
Wow. Instead
of 200 feet. So,
old school. It's like the Boston Garden or the Odd or something.
Yeah, exactly. And this is an offensively minded team. They always kind of have been. It's one of it's like the old Belleville Bulls, right? They were always a fast team because they had that Olympic ice.
Yep.
Or you think of the Toronto St. Mike's, who used to play in that bandbox and tough teams. So this is a team that's always been about high offense, and they brought it this year again, and they got a lot of guys that put the puck in the net. They brought in 3 players from last year's Quebec Rempart championship team. Mm-hmm. So, this is a team that could fill the net, and they had 3 guys with more than 20 points in the playoffs this year. And, you know, think about a guy like Alexis I always get these names wrong. Alexis Gendron, you know, they brought him in from Gatineau at the trade deadline, but he started the year in the AHL this year with Lehigh Valley. And he's
unique. You don't see that a lot.
No, you know, usually if a guy is good enough to make the AHL, they get sent. Well, or they,
and often
they
can't. A lot of them can't play in the A, right? It's NHL or back. It's
yeah. I think that's a situation you're looking at with Easton Cowan right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you as a Leaf fan have been very interested in
yeah.
him, I'm sure.
Well, let's hold off on that because I do want to ask you about him. Let's stay here with the Drummondville Voltigeur.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, the guys you got to really look out for, at least on the offensive side of things, Ethan Gauthier, he scored 25 points in the playoffs this year. You think of a guy like Peter Replik, or Rep Click. He's Slovakian. He started actually out west in the WHL. He started with Lethbridge. He started with Lethbridge Hurricanes, and he really couldn't score. He didn't have any goals for Lethbridge, and you know, got waved through the WHL. Came to the queue, and even there, bounced around a bit until he ended up in Drummondville this year. And suddenly, he's a point per game player. You know, he had 60 something points in the regular season. He had 16 in the playoffs. So, you know, this is a team up and down. They got three. They can roll three lines that can score on you at will. And I know that's kind of a cliche thing to say about any championship team. Obviously, any team that gets this far is gonna hurt you bad. But sure. You know, this is a team that can really do it. And a lot of guys, they had 10 players with 10 or more points in the playoffs this year. It's a dangerous team. And on the back end, you've got Riley Mercer in net, who is the younger brother of one Dawson Mercer.
Okay.
And
a guy you know quite well.
Yeah. And, you know, Newfoundlanders. And that's the one weird thing about Drummondville. You know, in the queue, the Quebec teams tend to stick with Quebec players. And the teams down in the Maritimes usually get a lot of kids from the Maritimes. Now, sometimes you see trades and stuff happen when teams load up and there's crossover there. It's not like there isn't any. But this is a team with a lot of English players on it. And even their head coach, you know, came from the Halifax Mooseheads last year. As I am, you know, Sylvain Favreau, who he was, you know, head coach in Halifax last year, resigned, but ended up in Drummondville. And, you know, their captain, as I'm bringing it up here, Captain Luke Woodworth, he's from Nova Scotia. They had a couple Ontario-born players on the team, a player from New Brunswick, a couple of Newfoundlanders on the team. So this is a team chock full of English players.
Yeah,
so, and you see that a lot in junior. You know, not that these guys are OHL dropouts by any means, but it always seems like you get a guy in the OHL who can, he's like a fourth liner. He's kind of muddling along and never score more than a couple of goals. He'll get waved through the league, and then he'll end up on some Q team and score 25-30 goals. So it's weird, but that's not to say that the Q is a worse league by any means. You know, the Q is looking for their fifth straight Memorial Cup championship this year. It's been a Q party at the Memorial
Cup. And coming off a stretch where they were struggling to win, if I recall correctly, like before that.
Well, they went. Yeah, at one point they went 25 years without a Quebec-based team.
Unbelievable, yeah.
You know, the Cornwall Royals of the early 80s won a couple, and they were actually a Q team back then, but they were Ontario-based, had a lot of Ontario players. A Quebec-based team, you know, didn't win for 25 years, but, you know, now they're making up for lost time. You know, we had Quebec win it last year. St. John has put up a couple in the last decade. Bathurst, Rouyn Noranda, like it's just been a Q party at the Memorial Cup lately. And I would not be surprised again. You know, I think some of these Q teams can fly under the radar because people almost just don't pay attention. Maybe coverage isn't as good because of the language barrier.
Right.
And, you know, I was guilty of it last year. You know, I think on this show last year, I thought Seattle was the team to beat. And to be fair, they went to the final. But, man, Quebec showed that they were the class of the field last year. Does that happen again with, you know, Drummondville this year? They've got the goaltending, they've got some, and they've got a defenseman who has missed the entire playoffs this year, who's a high draft pick of Arizona, or I should say Utah, I guess.
Utah,
now.
Yeah.
Utah.
HC Utah. Hockey
Club.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Blizzard, the Yetis, whatever you want to call
Utah
them.
Utah Ska around here.
But, you know, he's coming back for the Memorial Cup, Lamoureux, and,
okay.
Or at least, there's rumors that he's coming back to the Memorial Cup. So,
well, you know, when you talk about, sorry to cut you off, but just, you know, when you talk about the London Knights and sort of their overall game and Drummondville and their ability to score, which is never in question coming out of the queue, right? Like that's a high scoring league, a lot of yes. firepower. You know, what about the identity of the other two teams, even not in a specific matchup? Like, what is it that Saginaw does well? What is it that got Moose Jaw through that we should be looking for out of them, whether it be physicality, whether it be, you know, run and gun, whether, you know, just good systems? You know, what should we know about the other two teams?
Saginaw, I think, you know, they're a bit of a younger team, bit of a tough team to play against. And it's almost like you got a lot of Brad Marchands on that team. They came out of the playoffs with not a lot of people liking them, especially from the Sioux, who they beat the second round in seven games. You got a very talented young defenseman there named Zane Parekh, who's going probably going to go very high in this year's NHL draft. He has not made many friends this year, but he is such a skilled player. You know, he scored 96 points this year as a defenseman in his second year in the OHL. Wow. But is a guy that's not, you know, not above taking a few pot shots. And so, but a tough team. You got a guy like Josh Bloom, who actually started off in Saginaw, you know, was traded to North Bay last year for a run and wasn't brought back, you know, for North Bay this year. So he returned to Saginaw and, you know, he was a former captain of Saginaw. He didn't take that captain role on again this year, but he was a guy that came in for them, has been a point per game player and, has been great for them. Of course they brought in, you know, they had to make the big deadline splash. They brought in Owen Beck from the Peterborough Petes.
Wow. Yeah.
That last year's tournament.
Habs draft pick. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you can't, if you're watching the Memorial, hell, if you've watched any CHL coverage on TSN this year, you already know about Michael Misa because his commercial plays three times every commercial break. You know, he's the exceptional status player, 2007 born. So this is his second season in the OHL. And he's
2007.
Still
2007.
Yeah. Yeah.
That bums me out, man.
it's pretty terrible, isn't it? But he, you know, he's not going to next year's NHL draft. And, you know, he put up 75 points this year for Saginaw. More of a playmaker type, I would say, off the wing, you know, with 46 assists this year. But like I said, Saginaw is a bit of a younger team. They made sure they got older at the deadline this year. But it's hard to put my finger on them, really.
Right.
Other than I know that they're capable of doing this. And, they, you know, as far as
Moose Jaw and the dub. Yeah. We always sort of, you know, just stereotypes and this and that, as I sort of painted Drummondville. Well, the Q, they're high scoring, they're run and gun, this and that. You always think of the dub as the big physical team with the big heavy farm boy defensemen and things like that. Does Moose Jaw fit that mold, or are they doing something different?
I would say so. Yeah. I mean, just look at their captain, Denton Matejchuk. Is there a more WHL name than that? Just sounds like a big hoss farm boy, doesn't he?
For sure.
He's their OA captain. He puts the puck in the net as a defenseman. He hit 30 points in the playoffs. Like, that's just unreal. I would say Moose Jaw's a little bit more top heavy. Obviously you got to look out for guys like Brandon Jaeger and Jaeger Furkus, who, you know, and the names, you know, true to WHL form. There's some weird names out there.
Sure.
They brought in Matthew Savoy from Wenatchee, who were Winnipeg last year. You know, the Winnipeg Ice moved to Wenatchee last summer, and Winnipeg was the team that lost last year's WHL final. Matthew Savoy, ninth overall pick of the Buffalo Sabres. You know, he's come in there and has been awesome for them. But, you know, you get beyond those top guys and the scoring drops off just a little bit as far as points are concerned. They got, you know, a few younger guys in their lineup, but the one thing that is going to help them is they're healthy. Mind you, I was going to say every team seems to be pretty healthy coming into this Memorial Cup. I was doing some research beforehand. I mentioned the Drummondville defenseman who's missed some time, but other than that, and he might be back, but other than that, you know, everyone seemingly is very healthy coming into this playoff, other than your normal bumps and bruises.
Sure, wear and tear, yeah.
There's going to be stuff that coaches do not tell you, right? with a gun to their head, they won't tell you what's going on. But it seems like all these teams have gotten through the playoffs relatively unscathed as far as that's concerned. And then what is also odd with all these sweeps is they just, you know, we have a lot of time in between the end of the series and the tournament starting. You know, Saginaw got 19 days off, but a lot of these teams are getting 8 to 10 days off, and that's not something you normally see.
Yeah.
You know,
heal up, rest up, practice. It's unusual.
It's gonna be interesting to see. I would say goaltending is so good in this tournament. You know, we've already talked about Michael Simpson. We talked about Riley Mercer a little bit, who really had a coming out party this year. Has been so good in the playoffs. You know, he pitched those back-to-back shutouts up in Bay Como to start the QMJHL final. And then, you know, out west, you also have Jackson Unger, who, again, kind of like Riley Mercer, had that reputation of being a goalie that was just okay, and maybe they need to upgrade. But, man, he took the ball and ran with it this year and has proven himself, and it's just been a monster for them in the playoffs. And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Moose Jaw's Eastern Conference Final Series with the Saskatoon Blades. Maybe the most epic series we've ever seen, that not only did they go seven games with Saskatoon, who had been the number one team in the WHL this year, six of those games went to overtime.
Wow.
And the one that didn't was 3-1 with an empty netter. So it was, you know, this is a Moose Jaw team that plays well under pressure.
Yeah, battle-tested.
I read they had 8 overtime games in the playoffs this year. So you're talking about a team that, you know, that gets the job done when you need them to. That's the Moose Jaw Warriors. And a hungry team, you know, this is their 40th anniversary season. It's their first championship in the WHL. It's the first time they're going to the Memorial Cup. I think there's a lot of, I don't want to say the pressure would be the wrong word. I think it's just a lot of, like, why not us kind of attitude. And, you know,
sure.
I don't think a team like the London Knights scares them or anything like that. It's going to be interesting to see. But at the end of the day, this is my really long answer of saying, I don't know. that's the problem with when you're talking about teams that never play each other, man. It's just,
well, this is the fun part of it, right? As we throw these four now into a bowl together and shake it up and go, let's see what happens. That was going to be, as you were well ahead of me on, you know, my next question, is there a prohibitive favorite? And, you know, when all three of these teams plus the host, the three league champions, all come out having dummied their championship final opponent and now get a chance to rest and recover and practice and prepare for what's coming, I think that's huge. And at the same time, all of these games, you know, there's a round robin, but then we're just into a one-game elimination where anything can happen. Is there a prohibitive favorite? Is there somewhere, if you were our buddy Matty Lang, who just loves to throw his money on something, you know, where you'd put down a couple of bucks? Or is this just anybody's ball game and you'd keep your money right in your pocket?
I mean, I guess a lot of people on the surface might just go with London because they're just the London Knights, right? They're always
that marquee value. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they've been, and they're the team that has, maybe not this roster specifically, but this organization, you know, it's like the thing with the Leafs, and I hate to harp on you about it because I'm not a Leaf hater like some of the other guests that you have on this show, but, you know, it's like that. No matter how good they get, there's still that aura of they can't get it done. And it almost infects a roster. It's the opposite with the London Knights, man. It's just no matter what, even when you think, you know what, they're not going to be that good this year, they get the job done, man. Or at least they may overachieve. Yep. But you know what? I don't think it is.
And they get the benefit of the doubt, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're just that good. This is going to be their 6th Memorial Cup all since 2005. The other three teams at this tournament have a grand total of 5 appearances between the, and 4 of those are with Drummondville.
Right.
So, you know, you know, Saginaw, this is their first time. Moose Jaw, this is their first time. So, you know, London's got that aura about them. And of course, with so much high end talent, like Easton Cowan was just a beast this year. And I mentioned we're going to get to him, but you know, it's just that team, I guess you could say you could put your money on London, but at the same time, man, I will not be surprised at all if any of the other 3 teams win this tournament, man. This is a very, I think, balanced tournament. This is a tournament where everyone's coming in relatively healthy for a change. There is no one team that had 7-game series after 7-game series. I know I mentioned, you know, Moose Jaw had that long series, but this is just one of those, I think, and I hope we're going to get a really good tournament out of this. You know, you could say all that, and one of the teams just blows them away. And maybe that team is London. But if you're betting on it, man, that's why I don't bet.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I could see any team walking away with this. For argument's sake, let's just say London's going to win because that's the team I don't want to win. So they'll probably do it. But yeah, I think we're going to be in for some really good stuff.
Well, and for, you know, I know people like you, you know, sometimes I don't want to overstate it, but hardcore junior hockey fans maybe suddenly get a little irritated around World Junior time when the rest of us come rushing in and pretend to know things about junior hockey. But one of the things that makes the World Junior so great carries here to the Memorial Cup, and that's that when you're dealing with teenagers and not yet fully developed, you know, maturity levels and psyches and stuff like that, momentum is a thing, right? Like,
oh, huge.
Yeah. And so even if there was a pretty clearly defined 1-4 here, which, as you're stating, there isn't, if 3 is playing 1 in the semifinal, just by the way things have played out in the round robin, and all of a sudden 3 pots, you know, third place pots 2 quickly, it, you can get out on a run and you can rattle some people, right, in, on that first place team. And you can, you know, things get out of control, weird things happen. And that's one of the beauties of the World Juniors. That's one of the beauties of the Memorial Cup or the OHL playoffs, whatever you're watching, is that anything can happen because it's not these grizzled 35-year-olds who've seen it all, steady the ship. Sometimes they can't. Sometimes weird things happen, and that's what makes it so unpredictable, and that's what makes it so fun.
And again, you know, not to keep harping on your Oshawa Generals, but I take that game as an example. How often in the NHL playoffs are you going to see a team coming back from down 6-2 in the third period?
Yeah, or 4-1, or, you know.
Yeah, or whatever. whatever it is. Yeah. Hey, you know, I've seen my team, you know, the Guelph Storm, they've blown some leads in their day, believe me. you know, this is a league where, yeah, a thing that might, a crazy comeback that happens in the NHL once a year is a thing that, I don't want to say happens on a weekly basis in the CHL, but happens a lot more often than you think. You know, I think Saginaw, you know, now this has nothing to do with this year's team, but in the past, you know, we've seen, I think the benchmark is always like the 5-0 game. We've seen teams lose a 5-0 lead before. Very rare, but that's like, man, I've never seen a team blow a bigger lead than that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a game a few years ago where Saginaw, I believe, was down 6-0 to Sarnia in the third period and came back and won 7-6 in overtime. So it's just one of those things that junior hockey can be like, man, it's just, and no lead is safe, you know, as you've seen. And, you know, obviously you get to a little bit better systems and stuff. And like you said, momentum is just a hell of a thing. And when you're dealing with teenagers, man, the highs are higher and the lows are lower. And,
yeah, the arrogance or the ego can kick in, or the nerves kick in and spiral on you. It's just a different game that way, and that's part of the beauty of it. So,
I think that's why the London Knights could just be so good. Like I said, it's just like they walk in knowing that they're the London Knights.
We're king shit here,
basically. And oddly enough, you know, it's they've only won 2 Memorial Cups. It's one of those things. I was almost, when they got that big lead against Oshawa in the first 2 games, I thought, you know what, if they're going to have to win one eventually, it might as well just be this year, I guess, you know, while my team's not there. You know, they're going for their 3rd Memorial Cup, which would tie them with the Windsor Spitfires for most in the OHL. I know Oshawa people will start yelling, "We've got 5, but you don't, you have 2. Cause that's the thing.
Why do you got to be like that? Why does it have to be like this, Steve?
Matt,
you've just been piling on me. All right, yeah. Question.
Question for you.
Yeah.
You know, this one you might like. How many Stanley Cups have the Ottawa Senators won?
Oh, don't do this to me, because I know what the follow-up is going to be. This incarnation of the Ottawa Senators has won 0 Stanley Cups.
All right, so how many Memorial Cup of the Oshawa Generals won? Yeah, exactly. People get, they get mad when I bring this up. I didn't mean, you know, they're not in the Memorial Cup, and I shouldn't be harping on them, but it's...
Well, what people do like to, and me included, like to harp on, is the Toronto Maple Leafs. And so we're viewing this Memorial Cup, and this was, you know, the OHL final... One of these things is pretty
pretty difficult on my mental health. The next great hope for the Toronto Maple Leafs is just dummying my hometown Oshawa Generals with seemingly 3-4 points
silver
a night. Yeah, I guess that is one way to look at it. But I'm just curious, you know, I don't hear, other than the fact that it's a Toronto draft pick, so the hype is always a little out of control, but I don't seem to be hearing the same type of talk about what type of player Easton Cowan could be in comparison to Mitch Marner. And maybe that's fair. Maybe it's ridiculous to pin hopes on any junior hockey player that he's going to come in, give him a couple years, and he's going to become a 90-point guy who kills penalties and plays on the power play. Like, that's a hell of a thing to pin on any kid. But I did give you a little heads up before we started that I wanted to ask you to sort of compare and contrast Mitch Marner at this point in his career with Easton Cowan at this point. And so Mitch, after his draft year, went back, played one more year, and then came in with Hyman and Nylander and Matthews, that kind of next wave to start the 2016 season, 1 year after his draft. And if the Leafs were to decide to bring up Easton Cowan, it would be the same situation. 1 year after his draft, you know, not necessarily with this new wave of young talent, but just in terms of a personal comparison, coming out of the London Knights, having gone to a Memorial Cup.
Right.
Are there similarities between these two players other than the fact that they are highly skilled wingers who play for the London Knights? Do you see any sort of, you know, comparison between them? What Cowan might be ready to do, whether he needs to go back to junior, whether it's time for him to take a step? You know, you mentioned, and I cut you off there a little while ago, the idea that some guys would be best served to leave junior and go to the AHL, but the current agreement between the leagues does not allow for that. Where do you see Easton Cowan right now and in comparison to where Mitch Marner was at this point in 2016?
You know, in 2016, you know, Mitch Marner was one of the top forces on London's last Memorial Cup championship team. You know, that line that he was on with Tkachuk and Dvorak may still to this day, I think, is the most dominant single line I've ever seen in junior hockey. Easton Cowan, like Mitch Marner, is a guy that just takes over the game and, you know, chips are down kind of thing. This guy just puts up points like crazy. He may not fill the net off of his stick specifically, but man, he makes everyone around him so much better. And, you know, this is a guy with 96 points this season, 34 points in the playoffs this year. And I believe he had 15 points in the finals alone.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, he did.
A lot of that was, you know, beating up on.
Yep.
I don't want to call him an inferior opponent, just an opponent that.
I think when it goes that way, it's fair to say Oshawa was an inferior opponent.
I'm trying not to make every Oshawa fan hate me after the Memorial Cup debate, but which I brought up really out of nowhere and had no need to, but I just felt like, you know, I'm like, oh, a microphone's in front of my face.
Sure.
You know what?
Let's twist the knife a little.
Yeah, no, but obviously getting back to the actual question here, you know, Easton Cowan, I think he's like one of those, there's been a lot of these players over the years, it's just like that poster boy of, man, he does not need another year of junior, but at the same time, I don't know if he's going to be playing for the Leafs next year, you know, and this might even be a question, you know, if I turn it around on you, you know, you look at the Leaf roster now, of course, there's all these questions regarding the Leafs, what their roster might look like. Will Marner be there next year, etc.? Maybe a spot opens up where they can go, you know what, we feel we can insert Easton Cowan into this lineup. But at the same time, I don't know if Easton Cowan is going to be playing for the Leafs next year. I my money would be on no, but then again, I've been so wrong on so many occasions that I'm not sure. He should be a guy playing for the Marlies next year,
right,
I think.
Right.
But as you mentioned, the agreement is as such, you know, he'll still be an age next year. He's either got to play for the Leafs or he's getting sent back to London. And, you know, does he have another year where he just comes back and people say, you know, go back and dominate again? Well, he's already been there, done that.
Right.
He might come out of it with a Memorial Cup this year. That's the scary thing with the London Knights, man. I mentioned how Oshawa is going to bring back almost everyone next year and they should be in this position again next year. Well, you know what? So is the London Knights. They might have, a bit more question marks in that I think they're a little bit of an older team, so a couple of their guys are a little bit farther along.
Sure.
Who could make pro. But at the same time, you know, you're talking about guys who are coming back, like East, who could be coming back, like an Easton Cowan, like a Denver Barkey, Kasper Holtonen, who had 17 goals in the playoffs this year, more than anyone else. Sam Dickinson, he's going to be a top 10 pick in the NHL draft, but he's not, I would imagine, won't be in the NHL next year. So this is a team that's going to be so good next year, and Easton Cowan could be leading the way for them, man. Like, it's just, Easton Cowan, as much as it pains me to say, you know, being a London Knight, he is such a good player. He's a bit of a smaller guy, but that doesn't stop him.
Kind of like Mitchie at the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's the comparison is very apt, I think. Just from
more
what
of a
I
setup
watched.
Guy than a scorer guy, you know.
Yeah, like he has the ability to fill the net, but he's so much better at setting other guys up for it, I feel. And you know what? When you do need that big goal, he comes through for you. So. In the playoffs, unlike, you know, that other guy.
Right. No, you're right, but that's going to be the interesting thing. You know, when you look at what the Leafs need is, as a cap team, are they going to be looking at this guy drooling going, at 800 grand, right? Like,
yep, exactly.
that entry-level contract that maybe, you know, comes in and doesn't translate exactly the way we want, but could still contribute, I don't know, 50 points and 15 goals or something in a rookie year. That would be difficult for them to turn down. And yet, are we certain that's what's best for the kid's development? You know, it's an interesting point that the Leafs are at, that he's at. As you point out, if they win a Memorial Cup this year, what's left for him to do? I guess the World Juniors, because that didn't go well for Canada this year. You send him back and say, go dominate at the World Junior. That's only partially under his control. It's a short tournament, and it's an interesting debate, man. And it's funny, and maybe the debate is only there because they're in the same jersey, but it does feel like there's more to it than that. When you want to look back at what Mitch was at this point in his career, and Easton Cowan was, they're oddly similar size, skill sets, teams, circumstance, everything about it. There's an interesting line to be drawn between them.
Absolutely. And you know, people are looking at how do you get rid of Mitch Marner. Now that's a question for
we're all still wondering.
Yeah, exactly. But you wonder, okay, well, even if they have to let Marner walk or they trade him and get not a good return for him, you think, well, how do you replace that in the lineup? Now, it is unfair to go to an Easton Cowan and go, you know, we need you to replace that 100-point guy. Maybe he's not that guy, but you know, he's got that similar trajectory as Marner.
And if at 850 grand, he could give you 60% of what Mitch is, or 50%, and you could go use that money on, like, there's some interesting questions to be asked here, right? How do you backfill what Mitch does, you know, in a few players instead of in one? Right?
Exactly. And Cowan, I think, can be that guy, though, eventually. Obviously, you know, even if he's stuck with the Leafs next year, he's not going to be the Mitch Marner replacement right away.
No.
But it's possible that, you know, a couple of years down the road, you know, hey, you know, you don't need Mitch Marner because you have Easton Cowan now, you know? And you're talking to a guy who my favorite player ever was Cody Hodgson, and I thought he would be an NHL star. Yeah. To be fair, he was kind of on that trajectory. And I like that a lot. There's a lot of players I've made that same mistake with, where you look at a guy and you go, man, he is going to be a star in the NHL one day. And it just doesn't translate.
Yep.
And, you know,
my go-to name is always Rob Schrempf, right?
So. Yeah, exactly. Another London Knight.
London Knight, yeah. Didn't work out.
For Ottawa people, I think the guy would be Corey Lock.
Sure.
You know, there's a guy who's put up 160 points in junior every year, and he barely had a cup of coffee in the NHL.
There's also that Alex Digg guy. For Ottawa people.
Yeah. That one probably hits a little bit harder than Corey Lock, but you know,
it happens though, right? you just never know, right? Like how these are gonna shake loose. So
you've got a lot of players at this tournament that are gonna watch, and they're gonna, because the national broadcasts always do is they pump the tires of the NHL picks, because that's how they bring in the casuals, right? Come see these future NHL guys. And there's going to be a lot of guys who you watch, and someone's going to have a tournament that you go, man, I can't wait to see this guy in the NHL.
Right.
And it's just never going to really work out for him, unfortunately. But, you know, such is the story of junior hockey.
Yeah.
Such is the story of the World Juniors and the Memorial Cup. at the end of the day, this is my favorite time of year, and I'm so psyched to see these four teams get at it. And I'm sure you could have had other people on that could have put this together a lot more eloquently than I could have, and maybe given a better preview of these teams. But man, I'm just so psyched for this tournament, and hope that London does not win it.
None of them would have been as funky as you, though, Steve. This is where we have to circle all the way back around, right? So, I appreciate you doing this, man. You guys over at the OHL Fanboys gave us the rub when we were getting up and getting started, and I was a fan of, you know, getting my my perspective on junior hockey from you guys. So, you know, we've been able to maintain that relationship long after that show has moved on to other things. But I always appreciate you coming on and giving some perspective on the junior hockey thing. I know you're getting ready to head down there later in the week and take it in. So I appreciate you making some time, man. Thank you.
Always happy to be on. And always.
How did the jam up the mash treat you?
It treated me pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not done it yet, but okay. You know, as someone who doesn't like beer, you know, I'm recommending it.
Okay.
You know, for listeners in the Hamilton area, go get your stuff from Collective Arts Brewing Company.
Perfect. And can highly recommend them, and down in that same area, Grain and Grit, both beautiful breweries in the Hamilton area. This one, I mentioned a little while ago, I'm not a coffee guy, but as longtime listeners of this show know, I am absolutely a coffee stout guy. And this latte stout from Muskoka, gorgeous. It's called the Winter Beard, so you may have to wait a couple months for it to come out again, if I'm guessing, but I wanted to get it out of the way before we got too deep into the summer. That's where we're going to wrap this one up. Stick around. It's a short week, but as always, it'll be a good one here on the podcast. If you missed anything last week, I'd highly recommend you go back, check out Steve Bunda was here. Lever Sage was here on our actual ninth anniversary of the podcast. And then we closed out the week with two, what I thought were really fun shows, talking music with Matt Conesvita, just trading some concert stories there. So we had a good week celebrating the ninth anniversary of Tall Can Audio, and now we're moving on. Eyes set on the 10th anniversary. For Steve McLean, my name is Mal Robinson. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of Tall Can Audio, and we'll see you next time.
Yo, can warriors are drinking it down. Raise your voices and stare at this town. We're the champions of craft beer sport. Tall Can Audio,